Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get that app anywhere you get your favorite apps, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. You download the Odyssey app, orange background with a big white A. Once you get it downloaded, you look for WILK News Radio. Or you can hit stations near me if you're in the area. Download us, favorite us, and that's it. You got us. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay. Listen to us anywhere, anytime, anyplace. It's got some great little features on there, too. So, not a lot going on today, kind of just in a holding pattern, the status quo. I was going over a little stock market numbers earlier today, and at the 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, year to date, the Standard & Poor was all in the positive. That's a good thing, right? We were told that that would be devastating us. Our investments, our retirements were going to get crippled. Not so much. Price of gas is down. The Straits of Hormuz is still moving. There's a backlog at the refineries in the Gulf of America. Cranking out oil. And gas should probably be cheaper than it is right now. I mean, $100 a barrel is where they like to keep it, and that's with an average gas price. Our gas prices are still higher than they should be, and gas has been anywhere between $60 and $75 a barrel. So let's get cracking on this lower gas prices, even lower. That would be a good benefit and we stop talking about. Let's put the pressure there. We're going to talk about a lot of things going on. You know, the leaking of an incomplete intel report just to kind of root against America. I don't get that. That's kind of been the thing the past 2 days where, and there's an investigation, there's an FBI investigation. They will find out who leaked this. And there are some suspects of who it was leaked to. Three names in particular from the former administration. But again, even if it says what they say it says. And I love these anonymous source reports when all other, including the Iranian officials, are saying that their nuclear sites were devastated. And again, I don't believe them either. So it kind of puts us in a conundrum here. But to leak an unfinished, you have to realize when an intelligent report goes through, it goes through different communities. And each community has their own expertise and specialty that they add to that intel report. And then you have a group of people that take all those different agency reports, what was added, and kind of condense it into one final product. And that's what goes out. Well, it appears that it went through one set of hands, one of those agencies, and it was leaked somewhere to someone. And that's under investigation now. And it's used by the media and for the naysayers who just want this administration to fail, which is wanting America to fail. So I just don't get it. Putting it out there to the world to say, oh, no, this was not as successful as you're saying it was. As a matter of fact, it only set it back mere weeks. Again, an unsourced, unnamed people. But yet you have all sorts of names, including the Iranian spokesperson, saying that it was pretty well devastated. Now, if it was or if it's not, let's wait for the final report and let's pick that apart once it's made public. What is made public? They had to postpone the classified briefing for members of Congress because of the leaks. Because that's where the fingers would have been pointing if there was. So until they get the report completed from all different agencies involved, and I'm working on maybe getting someone, a guest on the show, that can tell you precisely different agencies that walks through, from the Department of Defense to the CIA to the Department of National Intelligence. I mean, there are multiple State Department. There are multiple hands that this report goes through, and they all add their 2 cents to it in their expertise and their skill set. What's being done diplomatically because of this? Are they in chaos? It means that we did a pretty good job, so the State Department's going to add to that. You know, what's a foreign intelligence from that area, from all sources, saying? Well, the Department of National Intelligence will tell that. What CIA assets do we have on the ground or in the air that have eyes on this? What do they have? Let's get the DOD debrief on what they actually saw, what they actually did, and what their equipment downloaded, and let's review those tapes to see exactly what happened. Let's review the flyover after the fact to give the collateral damage reports. But there's an ongoing effort to just hope we fail because they just don't like the person that's in the White House right now. So, you know, we're going to get into that a little bit later on. You also have this mayoral primary in New York City that has totally gone off the rails. New York City has literally lost their minds. And if you think I'm overstating this, you have a 30-something-year-old devout socialist who wants to open up government-run supermarkets, who wants to take the guns away from the police so they're more like the UK, that have social workers respond. I mean, they are going to put – when you have Chicago and San Francisco politicians reaching out to people in New York and saying, don't go down the road where we went down because we learned our lesson, you know you have a problem. I am telling you right now, if Zoran Mamdani becomes mayor of New York – and right now I think they have it at a 76% chance that he becomes mayor of New York – the only way he does not really become the mayor of New York is if Andrew Cuomo and Sliwa, the Republican, the former Guardian Angels head, or still the head of the Guardian Angels, Kurt Sliwa, if they bow out and everyone endorses Eric Adams, who is a mess himself. And you've heard me talk about his administration and him personally since he got into office. He's a charlatan who cares about one thing, Eric Adams. The only thing he is not, he's not as bad as Zoran Mamdani, who is a devout socialist who will utterly destroy New York. And if he becomes mayor, I am 100% against any railway coming to our area from New York City. It's as simple as that. It'll be, New York City will be a hellhole that we have not seen on the East Coast of these United States. It's as simple as that. He is a wrecking ball. There are plenty of videos and interviews that he's done out there to where you can watch them and make your own opinion. And if I just don't get it. So we will see. We will see where that goes. But as of right now, the predictions that I saw after the primary, based on the voting demographics of New York City, is he's got a 76% chance of becoming the mayor. Because make no mistake, I mean, there was not a good candidate running in the New York City mayoral primaries this year between Andrew Cuomo, this socialist, Mamdani, who is an utter crazed individual, and Eric Adams. You've had Bill de Blasio. And the only reason Mayor Adams looks any good in any way is because he preceded Bill de Blasio, who was a train wreck. This guy is going to make them all look better. So it's going to be interesting to see what's happening there. A little closer to home, and I touched on this the other day, but Josh Shapiro, our governor, was at the NASCAR race here in the Poconos, he was talking about NFL team stadium needs, and he got into how the Eagles' contract for their current stadium expires in 2032 and said there were conversations about bringing NASCAR to Philadelphia as he championed the state's full sports slate next year during an appearance at the Sunday's Pocono Raceway. He also talked about the Steelers and, you know, Pittsburgh Stadium, the home of the Steelers, opened in 2001, while Lincoln Financial Field opened in 2003. Philadelphia's shared sports complex. The Eagles do not own the Lincoln Financial Field. The teams will need to renew the lease or build a new stadium. And he's kind of putting taxpayers' money on the line to help this. So how do you feel? And I know this is not just a Pennsylvania, this is a national thing. But then he threw in NASCAR to where if they build, you know, a new Eagles stadium, they can possibly build a NASCAR track around it. And, you know, I touched on that the other day. And again, this is all going to be supplemented by these billion-dollar enterprises by you and I, the taxpayer. It's interesting how Democrats talk about, you know, giving a hand up to all the billionaires out there. Oh, they're giving their billionaire friends, you know, money, but they're taking everything away from us, the middle class and the poor people. Well, that's exactly what the governor of Pennsylvania is putting into advisement here. And I just don't think Philadelphia will have the fan base for NASCAR. Jake, what's your thoughts on putting a NASCAR track? And I don't think he's talking about taking anything away from Pocono. No. I think this is in addition to maybe bring a second race to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, Pennsylvania did have two races from 1982 to 2021. That's when Pocono Raceway had both races. And then one was in June, one was late July, early August a lot of times.
And they both get rained out.
it seems like that. What happened was, so Pocono did the doubleheader. This was in 2020, the historic doubleheader, one cup race on Saturday, one on Sunday. Obviously, you have your preliminary races. The truck race was going to be on Saturday, Xfinity on Sunday. Of course, we know what happened in 2020. No one was able to go. When they had it again in 2021, it was unbelievable, the turnout that you had for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Camping was sold out by Wednesday, from what I remember. But, again, a lot of these markets, Gateway International Raceway near St. Louis, they wanted to get a NASCAR Cup Series race. Pocono Raceway is independently owned. They're not owned by the France family who founded NASCAR. Or Marcus Smith, who owns a ton of racetracks, Charlotte, Sonoma, Atlanta Motor Speedway, where they're going to be racing out this Saturday night. So, yeah, Philadelphia, from what I remember and what I know, they are the fourth largest market in America. Obviously, New York City is number one, Los Angeles is second, and Chicago is third. And I know that, obviously, with NASCAR, they did the street race at Chicago. This will be the third year in a row that they're doing it. Possibly the last year that they're going to be doing it. Contract is up. And there's also talk about a street race in San Diego in 2026. So obviously the Southern California market, that's something that they've coveted for a long time. I don't know how I'd feel about a race at Franklin Field, because that's where it's being rumored. And people are like, well, you know, next year, 250th birthday of America, 4th of July. I get all that. But this is something that they have been doing lately is – from 2022 to 2024, you had the Clash, the Busch Clash, that kicks off the season. That was at the LA Coliseum. That sort of ran its course. And then this year, they had the Clash at Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So, like, I get where they're going as far as, like, giving it that local short track feel. But yeah, I'm not too sure how I feel about a race at Franklin Field or possibly even a street race in Philadelphia. That's, you know, I would have to – that's the thing. That's how I felt about the Chicago street course. I figured, well, you know, I got to wait and see how this is going to be. That's probably how I'm going to be with San Diego. So
– they should have it in Scranton, but they'd have to drive monster trucks yeah. because of the potholes.
Yeah. Or Wilkes-Barre near the square there.
Yeah. Well, this year at the Pocono, the track sold out all the front stretch seating, premium seating, suites, infield camping,
3 years
and the Grand State camping. It's also the fifth consecutive year the entire infield camping inventory has been sold out. 50,000 grandstand tickets, 2,000 suite tickets, and 3,300 camping spots.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is, and I kind of said this last week, and I love Pocono Raceway, obviously, with it being my home racetrack. In some ways, them losing that second race, it might have been a blessing because, again, I remember some races there, 2018, 2019, when you still had two race weekends. You had a third weekend, actually, with IndyCar. And I remember 2018, 2019, I remember seeing a lot of empty seats, a lot of empty camping spots in the infield. The parking lot wasn't as full. And obviously, now that you only have one race, hey, 3 years in a row that it sold out. Like 2 days before the race on Sunday, NASCAR announced grandstand-wise they were sold out. Camping-wise, they had sold out, I think, sometime in late May. So you see it with a lot of tracks. You lose a race. But Dover is another one. Obviously, Dover is just a couple of hours from here. They lost a race a couple of years ago. And last year, racing there at the very end of April, that was the first sellout they had in 20-some years from what I can remember.
I mean, in Philadelphia, they'll pull fans from mm-hmm. Delaware, I would imagine, because it's not a long haul. But do you think a lot of NASCAR fans will travel to Philadelphia to see NASCAR? That's my concern there.
I mean, it's interesting. I know Martin Truex Jr., I know that he retired after last season, and he's from Mayetta, New Jersey. And, I mean, he said when he was growing up, I mean, he's a big Philly fan, Flyers, Eagles, Phillies, you name it. A lot of fans, if you're passionate enough, like he and his younger brother Ryan, they would make the trip to Pocono. They would make the trip to Dover. I think if you're passionate enough, and let's face it, Philadelphia is a very, very passionate sports city. The thing is, Rob, I feel like NASCAR, when they come up with these ideas, like the clash at the LA Coliseum, for instance, it was cool the first year. But by about the second or third year, the novelty wears off. That's kind of where they're at with the Chicago Street Race. Is the first year, it was absolutely incredible. It was in the rain, and you had Shane Van Gisbergen winning the race in his debut. But last year, and even sort of this year, it doesn't have that same feel that it did, obviously, year one.
Now, at the end of this article here, it talks about, this is a big year, kicks off with the 2026, a big year kicking off with the NFL draft in Pittsburgh next April. Mm-hmm. And Governor Shapiro said he worked his ass off to bring that to Pittsburgh. So the governor brought the draft to Pittsburgh? Yeah, Jake's patting himself on the back, by the way. Yeah, okay. We'll leave it at that there. But I don't see... I mean, I could see him offering the venue and saying it would be a great thing, but really working your butt off to bring it to Pittsburgh, I'd like to see what you really time you put in to do that there, Mr. Governor. It's 3:25 here at WILK. Thank you as always, Jake. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I got some text messages in talking about it all. I am going to talk about a school district who is raising their taxes yet again in the area because the state is not giving them what they say, the board members themselves, is their fair share. It's interesting that the governor is willing to give millions of dollars is probably an understatement. I would assume this is going to go into the billions, but I would think that the taxpayers' link on this would be in the billions. More money, but yet our school children, that's put on our seniors with the fixed incomes. So we'll see what goes on there. We had this story of this Blakely man sentenced to child porn and indecent assault charges. 52 years in prison after being sentenced of charges of possession of child pornography and indecent assault following a bench trial earlier this year. As per the Lackawanna County District Attorney, Blakely police arrested Keith Dodson last year after investigation into a sexual assault of a 38-year-old woman who suffers from mental disability. Sexual assault of a person with mental disability is a predatory act and exploits the most vulnerable among us, the district attorney said. These victims deserve not only our protection, but the full force of justice. During a forensic analysis of the laptop computer, Lackawanna County detectives found 88 files of children under the age of 18 engaged in prohibited sexual acts. Lackawanna County Common Pleas Judge Andy Jarbola sentenced Dodson to 25 years to 50 years for the charges of possession of child pornography and 12 to 24 months for the charge of indecent assault. He must serve 3 years of supervised probation after being released from prison. Hopefully he spends the remainder of his adult life in prison. And then some. You are found guilty, and you are a dreg of society. It is 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:37, 91 degrees. Well, in the Iranian parliament today in Tehran, Iran, the parliament chanted death to Israel and death to America on their house, on their parliament floor today with their fists pumped in the air, all coming up from their desks and walking to the front of the podium to chant to the leader. Let's see if they feel better now. If not, you still have no nuclear program. But that's some news that was just crossing the TV as we're talking here. I did want to put this out there. With all the anti-Semitism we see going around the nation, and if not the world, but we've definitely seen it here at home in the United States in areas. Not so much here specifically, but, you know, we've seen areas where there's Palestinian flags being flown and such like that. Well, the Jewish Food Festival is returning to Scranton on Sunday, and it's going beyond food with addition of entertainment for all ages. The festival runs Wednesday at Naog Park on Mulberry Street from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. The event draws crowds from thousands from Northeast Pennsylvania and beyond with the tagline, open to all, especially those who love to eat. And who doesn't love to eat, right? So the reason I bring this up, you'll have a tight walker performed on Sunday from at 2:30 and 5:30. There'll be face painting from 3 to 6. A band from New York City will provide lively Jewish-infused pop music Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Merchandise stand will sell souvenirs with slogans like, you're the pastrami to my rye and let my people eat. So, listen, check this out. Bring your family. Bring your kids. Experience a culture maybe you've not have in-depth knowledge of. Hang out with people you may have more in common with than you think you have. The Jewish Food Festival is from Sunday through Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., Naog Park, Mulberry Street in Scranton. Kosher Food Festival has expanded to add entertainment. It's a rain or shine event with covered seating and shady seating. So, and you can check it out at online at jewishfoodfest.com. With the expanded promotion and new features, they hope to grow an attendance of around 6,000 to 7,000 to 10,000 to 12,000. So I guess 6,000 or 7,000 is what they normally got. And you can check it out on social media at jewishfoodfest.com. But the reason I bring this to you, A, the food is phenomenal. B, have your family, have your kids, especially young children, experience a culture maybe they don't have a lot of knowledge of. Maybe they're hearing nonsense in school or nonsense from their friends. Bring them there firsthand. Spend some time. Go through the booths that are there. Have some great entertainment and eat some great food. So I highly recommend this event to anyone. And if you've never been to a Jewish food fest, if you've never been to this food fest, check it out because I think it would be worthwhile in more ways than one. You know, some of the best ways we could overcome intolerance is to open yourselves up to these events, these different types of religions and people and foods and entertainment. And I think it would be good for anyone who attends it. So I highly recommend it. It's 3:41 here at WILK. We'll be back. You got us back on WILK News Radio, the Rob O'Donnell Show. We got Jake in the control booth spinning the tunes. It is 3:44, 91 degrees on this Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. Getting over the week, over the hump now. I just pulled up the radar, and it does look like there are scattered but pretty intense storms that are going to start moving through our area in the next 40 minutes or so. And they're kind of coming from a northwest to a southeast on an angle, and they're going to be rolling through our area, like I said, probably the next half hour, 45 minutes. They're going to be all over the place, but they're not going to be steady. You're going to get hit with a good 10 minutes, 20 minutes of rain, and then it's going to stop. And then you're going to get hit with another 5 or 10 minutes of heavy rain, and it's going to stop, and then maybe another. But with the heat and humidity that we've had over the past couple of days, I could see these also growing and blowing up to bigger storms. But as of right now, they're spotty, but they do look intense. So you know, be careful out there if you're driving around. It could be some heavy downpours, could be some pooling. You know, your safety is our main concern. So that's what we want to let you in on, which is why I brought up the radar to check it out. It looks like it's coming from, well, it's across the entire state. Allentown's about to get hit now. There's some storms south of us. We do have some storms all the way from the New York line down. Again, heading on a southeast trajectory. But they are going to be hitting our listening area. So just realize you will see the clouds get dark. It'll start raining. It'll start raining heavy, but it's not going to be a constant. It's going to last 10, 15 minutes and then be gone. And then it's going to hit you again because that's summer in NEPA, right? So we talked about earlier today the governor throwing out the possibility that the taxpayers could help the Philadelphia Eagles, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and maybe even look to build some sort of NASCAR facility in Philadelphia, because their stadiums for these billion-dollar organizations are starting to age. Well, here's the second year of a steep tax hike that's dividing the Dallas school board members. The school board adopted a $43.84 million budget for the 25-26 school year Monday, voted tax hike significantly for the second straight year. Now, the board was split evenly down the middle, 4-4, with the board chairperson, or the board president, being the deciding vote and voting yes, saying she's basically voting yes this time because there's no other alternative, but this is it for her. She's not voting yes anymore. That's probably the weakest argument I've ever seen for someone who's, make no mistake, school board people are politicians. But it's a weak argument. But this is the second year in a row. This amounts to a 4.8% increase over the last year's, which itself was 4.9% increase. So meaning the district residents have seen a total tax hike of 9.93% over the last 2 years. Now, they blame this on basically the state. And it breaks down that the state has been giving less and less to school districts than it did in the past. And it breaks down percentage-wise how that works out. And the state is giving school districts a less percentage than it did 10 years ago. And like I said yesterday when we were talking about this, you had school districts who become accustomed to that COVID money that was there for 2 years. And going back to pre-COVID levels seems to not be an option for many school districts. But I'm telling you right now, if you're a school board member, that is the only option. So stop beating up your taxpayers. Knock it off. And this is an article. There's an article in the Citizen's Voice that gets more in depth than this, and I'm really not going to hit all the key points here. So if you want to read it there, I recommend you do, because it does get into some discussions that were happening between the board. That especially if you live in the Dallas School District area, I would definitely read this. I would love to see a school yearly listing of every employee. Doesn't have to have any personal information. Doesn't even have to have their name. Just their position. And I would like people to pay attention to how many managerial or administrative positions there are in these schools. And I would like that put out every year. You know, we have this teacher, this grade, all these teachers, you know, support staff here. Every employee listed from soup to nuts every year, and that should be given to the taxpayer. This way we can see, all right, well, this looks administratively bloated or managerial bloated, or do you really need that many assistant principals? Do you really need that many supervisors and deputy supervisors of the special ed program? Do you need 5 deputy directors for this? Do you really need 3 buildings and grounds managers? Just put it out there. We've seen, and this is nationally, not just here in Northeast Pennsylvania, but we've seen teachers' numbers stay stagnant or go down. We've seen the amount of pupils stay stagnant or go down. We've seen administrative and manager levels skyrocket, and that needs to be brought out to light. It's 350 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 353, 91 degrees on this Wednesday, June 25th. And just be advised, those storms are going to be moving through our area in the next half hour or so. So just be cautious outside. You could call or text 570-883-0098. Seeing a bunch of texts come in saying, Rob, I think it would be easy to see which school districts have streamlined and which ones haven't based on their record of tax increases. I'm getting brutalized by Wyoming area yearly, and they're doing something wrong there. My school district was going to hire a second principal for $90,000 a year. That's not much. Until the people said WTF, and if you don't know what that means, look it up. Why do we need one? Now we have a full-time policy writer for $90,000 a year. A policy writer. Not a grant writer, but a policy writer. Now, a grant writer should be contingent on if do they bring in the funds to justify their existence. A policy writer. Aren't these people all highly educated doctors, some of them in education? They can't write their policy? We'll see. Again, going back to New York, I've been reached out to by a lot of people. I put some posts on X, and basically I said that if you're a police department anywhere in the nation, it would do you that's searching for personnel. It would do you just a service to advertise in New York City right now, because there is going to be a mass exodus. There has been a mass exodus, but it's going to be worse. I do not know how someone could work in public safety, and that goes for our EMS, fire department, police department, under someone who may become mayor of New York, socialist Zohran Mamdani. This individual has said that he will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he comes to New York to speak at the UN. This is someone who went to attack Tom Holman in Albany. When Tom Holman went to Albany to speak to the legislature there, he literally had to be held back by state troopers while he was putting on his performance, yelling at Tom Holman and threatening him. And no doubt he could have been arrested. I'm sure at the demands of the governor that he was not arrested, because there's video out there and you could see how he was attempting to push past uniformed state troopers. No doubt in my mind he should have been arrested. From the ideas he has of running government, forcing landlords to provide affordable housing, that's not the way things work. It's opening up government-run supermarkets because he believes that, with no overhead, you're not a for-profit entity. You could do these things much cheaper. Okay, well, who's going to pay the employees? Who's going to buy the goods? Who's going to pay for the trucks that bring the goods? Who's going to pay the electricity to keep the electricity on? Who's going to pay for the storefront? Yeah, the taxpayers will. And slowly but surely, the taxpayers who can will leave what will become a socialist hellhole. But do we need a real test tube case on the East Coast like they have in San Francisco? I mean, they hired a radical socialist district attorney out there who the people finally said enough's enough and ousted. Now, that district attorney was combated by a moderate Democrat mayor. But the district attorney still went so far to where the people rallied and got and then tossed them out legally. You have a mayor of New York City, one of the largest cities in the United States, that goes off the deep end with socialism. It's bad fast. And I'm no fan of Eric Adams. I'm even less of a fan of Andrew Cuomo. But there has to be some sense of reality when it comes to how these things happen. And I understand they got if you look at the map of New York City of who voted for who, they have a younger influx of this generation who just gets taken up by these promises of free stuff. They know that there's probably a bunch of them living in the same apartment because that's who can afford it. Listen, I was born and raised in that district in Astoria, Queens. AOC's district. It is almost unrecognizable today. Roosevelt Avenue is basically the porn strip of the Northeast, where it's an outdoor brothel at this point. Now, was there that 40 years ago? A little bit. And we cleaned it up. And we attacked the drugs. and it was a thriving immigrant community, legal immigrant community. But what you have now is a third world hellscape of prostitutes, one after another, open-air markets of mostly stolen goods, drugs rampant, all while you have AOC flying privately with Bernie Sanders about oligarchs. And they buy this stuff. They eat it up and they think, oh, they're going to make us things cheaper for us because listen to what he says. It's about them getting rich. It's about them being comfortable. No one else, because they're playing with monopoly money as far as they're concerned. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.